Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving Day. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving on tomorrow, and I hope you're blessed and that you will give praise, honor, and glory and thanks unto our Lord and King. Amen. Well, tonight is our midweek prayer service time here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We are located at 1415 Island Ford Road, and we'd love to have you here with us for our midweek prayer service tonight. We are having live services at 7 p.m. tonight, and Lord willing, my dad, Dr. Plato Shepherd from Larned, Kansas, will be preaching for us tonight. We're looking forward to that. And glad that he and my mom are able to be in with us. And I understand that some other family members from other people are gathering in and hopefully will be here in services tonight. And we hope to make your acquaintance as well and hope you'll pray for us that God bless in these services tonight. Amen. And I hope we'll pray for one another. Pray for those that are sick, especially at this time, those that are bereaved, going through a hard time. Some just with memories are going through a hard time today and this week. And so let's pray for them that God would touch and help and meet those needs. All right. I have a special unspoken request that the Lord knows what it is, but I just ask if you will pray about that. Just say, Lord, help about that special unspoken request, that need that has been mentioned there, and we'll thank you for it. Well, before we go to the message, we are, by the way, looking in Matthew chapter number 5, dealing with verse number 17. Our message today is going to complete the message that we started earlier, and then we'll pick up a new one tomorrow. But before we go there, I've got the Shepherd family singing one entitled, God's Been Good.
Lately I've been looking back along life's winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always good. And through it all, God's been tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace fell down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. And through it all, God's been Savior and friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. good through it all. God's been good. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. And through it all, God's been good.
Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says, think not, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord moves on to verse number 19, and he pronounces a detrimental effect. Look at it, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, the very least thing, you just break it. And then you teach others to do so. By the way, most time people are taught by watching others do. It's the way they're looking at it. But it's not just when you invite somebody, but it's the fact that you open the door, you go through that door, and somebody's going to follow you through that door. So when you break the commandment, even though it's the least of it, you're teaching others to do the same. It's one reason why it's so dangerous and scary, really, when the elder in a family sins. When a leader sins, he leads others into sin. When that elder child sins, a lot of times there's a pull on the younger ones to do the same. And our Lord says, you break one of the least of these commandments, there's detrimental effects to it. Look at, again, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this kingdom of heaven business is talking about the day of grace. So now we're living in the day of grace. People say, you know, we're no longer under the law and we can forget all that. And you know, we've got our way, the new way of salvation. That's their idea. And so we're in this day of grace. By the way, it's always been the age of grace. So it's always been. Nobody ever got in except for the grace of God. Nobody. But they say, we're in this day of grace now, and so these commandments don't matter. Our Lord said, even in this day, the day he's talking about, if you break the least of these and teach others, you're the least in the kingdom of heaven. The king will look upon you with disdain. The king will look upon you with dissatisfaction. But, look at it, finish up verse 19. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I personally believe that that's alluding to specifically to the millennial reign, because I don't think when we get to glory, there won't be big I's and little U's. But somewhere in the kingdom, somewhere in that millennial reign, some's ruling over many cities, some's ruling over few. And so there's this idea of great and least, but he's telling us here that these commandments, these teachings that our Lord has given us are important. If we break even the least of them, it diminishes us. It hurts us. What our Lord's showing here, he's saying, I'm not going to take down from the law of God. God's law is high and holy. But I'm going to show you the enormity of your sin when you break the law of God. By the way, that's what this whole sermon's about. I'm talking about the Sermon on the Mount. That's what I believe the whole Bible is about. It's about showing men the greatness of God and the greatness of God's Word and the greatness of God's law, but showing us the enormity of our sin. How bad, how pitiful, how terrible our sin is in the sight of a holy God. Amen. So we see the enormity of our sin. We also see the dire need of a Savior. Amen. that we need a Savior. So God has not set aside His law. Amen. Everything that was true is still true. Everything that was right is still right. Amen. God's not changed. But Christ did come not to deliver us from the law, but to deliver us from the penalty of the law when we had broken the law. Amen. Now you say, I can't keep the law. Christ is the end of the law to them that believe on Him. Amen. He fulfilled it. That's the whole idea, that He came to fulfill the law. Amen. And so He's showing us there, we could never keep the law because we were contrary to it. It was against our nature, but by the grace of God, Christ kept the law and Christ fulfilled the law. And now with Christ in our heart, the law's not just written on stone. It's written in our heart now. Amen. We've got a new nature by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. Well, rather than causing us to ignore the will of God, when we get saved, we have a desire to do the will of God. Any person that has no desire to please God and obey God needs to check up on what they think is salvation. If there's no desire to please God, no desire to obey God, I would question whether or not that person's saved. Anyone who's not sorry or ashamed when they failed God do not know God. Verse number 19 also deals with this area of teaching men. I mentioned that a minute ago about being careful how we teach. We teach with our life. But notice what he said in verse 19 about those that do right. All right, let me just read the whole verse. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Look here. But whosoever shall do and teach them, not just teach them, but do and teach them. You see that? Not just say this is how you're supposed to do, but they do it. They don't just proclaim it, they perform it. Amen. And we'd say they practice what they preach. Amen. They live what they preach. Amen. Our Lord's not pleased with people that don't live right, even if their preaching is right. You say, but this guy, he lives so wicked, and yet what he says is so good. Our Lord says, that man's least in the kingdom of heaven. He's not going to be counted great in the kingdom of heaven unless he does and teaches what's right. Amen. Amen. By the way, that was a problem with the Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They added to God's law, they made all these requirements of the traditions of the elders, and then our Lord said they wouldn't move one of them with their little finger. They wasn't going to change their lifestyle, but they commanded others, although they didn't obey them themselves. All right, verse number 20, my last verse. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, first of all, verse 20 does not say, I want to tell you what it does not say. It does not say you've got to do more than the Pharisees did. Because the Pharisees did a lot of good deeds in order to be saved. Our Lord's not saying you got to do this in order to be, it's not that our Lord's given us more responsibilities to do in order to be saved. Here's what He's saying. I believe you can see it in the scriptures that He's saying they were hypocrites because they had the law in their head. They didn't have it in their heart. Their heart was not in it. But He's saying you got to have something more than just head religion. You got to have more than just knowledge religion. You've got to have something in your heart that longs to do those things that please the Father. Amen. I do believe our Lord's saying don't be hypocrites like they were. Don't just say it, but do it. Amen. We need teachings of righteousness. We need teachings of righteousness that exceeds the teaching of the Pharisees. What righteousness could exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees? Only Christ. Amen. Only Christ. Their supposed righteousness was an outward righteousness. Turn, if you're in Matthew 5, turn to chapter number 23. Our Lord denounced, chapter 23 is a great chapter. He denounced them Pharisees one verse after another. Just woe, woe, woe unto these Pharisees in chapter number 23. And He's dealing, getting ready to head up, talking about the kingdom and Israel's place in the kingdom. But look here, verse number 25, through verse 28 of chapter 23. Verse 25. Their righteousness was only an outward righteousness. This is the point I want to make. Verse number 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. He said, all right, you clean up the outside, and that's all you care about. The inside's not yet clean. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Oh, my. Our Lord's saying there, listen, he said, you look like a coffin. Man, that thing is floured up. That thing has gold overlaying it. That thing has ivory on it. It may have verses of scripture on it. But inside is something that is corrupt. Inside is something that is decaying. Inside is something that is dead. Amen. And Jesus said, you need life on the inside. You need cleanliness on the inside. You need salvation on the inside rather than just an outward religion. Amen. God is looking for righteousness from the heart. That's how it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You got children at home and you tell one of them, shut the door. And they slam the door shut. They obeyed you in the letter, not in the spirit. I'd be like Maze Jackson said. He said, I would teach that boy how to shut a door properly. Next time he was told to shut the door, he'd say, I'll be glad to, and would do it properly. But here's the idea, that obeying the letter of the law, that's where the Pharisees were at, but it wasn't in their heart to do it. It wasn't in their heart. There's a lot of people sit on a church pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but it's not in their heart. Amen. There's a lot of people carry a Bible under their arm, but it's not in their heart. A lot of people look good to the church crowd, but it's not in their heart. Our Lord said, you got to have something more than that religious crowd. You gotta have more than just crossing your heart and hoping to die. You gotta have more than just saying a few Hail Marys. You gotta have more than just praying a few beads. You gotta have more than just religion. You gotta have more than water baptism. You gotta have more than drinking the cup and eating the bread. Amen. The rituals, the shadows. You gotta have the substance. What is that baptism about? It's about Christ. What is that cup and that juice about? It's about Christ. Amen. You gotta have Him in your heart. You don't have to turn there. I wrote these verses down. 1 Samuel 16:7. You know it. When Samuel was sent to anoint David as king, he saw David's elder brother. Here's what the Bible said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God's interested in the heart. Psalm 51, when David got right with God, here's what he said. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Amen. Jeremiah 31 verse 33 says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Israel is the people of God in name only today. In name only. Amen. There's a lot of people that are Christian in name only. God said, I'll be your real God when you have my law written on your heart. When it's in your heart, do it. Matthew chapter 22. Let me show you a few verses there. I'm almost done. Matthew 22, verse 35. I know you know this is very simple, very obvious. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came. Verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Here's what he's looking for. With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. What's God looking for? What's a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? It's a righteous heart. It's a heart that's been made clean. The law shows us how dirty our heart is. The light shows us how dirty our heart is. Amen. But if we'll repent of it and turn to Christ, our heart can be made clean. It goes back to Matthew 5:8 in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God's looking for purity, not just outward, but inward purity. Now, allow me in conclusion to look at these four verses real quickly and make a declaration about these four. Just remind you our Lord's teaching. Verse 17, Christ plainly and emphatically declared that he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Verse number 18, he solemnly affirmed the perpetuity and the immutability of God's law. He asserted that not one jot, one of the smallest particles, would pass away before all would be fulfilled. And then he insisted that his servants teach the whole counsel. That his servants maintain the integrity of God's word, both in practice and in preaching. Amen. Or else they would not receive his approval. And then verse number 20, Christ was so far from destroying God's commandments that he demanded that his subjects must have a righteousness that exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, that surpassed and excelled beyond the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, let me say this because of the day we're living. This does not mean, as some have tried to make it say, that how you live doesn't matter, that the outside doesn't count. But what he is saying is, don't just get the outside clean. Make sure you get the inside clean as well. We are not saved by our good deeds, no matter how good or how many they may be. We're not saved by our deeds. Only by the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ can wash our sins away. Amen. But once we're saved, our heart has been made clean. Our heart then has a desire to please God, and we ought to do that very thing. Amen. You know what the Bible says? Romans 9 and 10, it deals with the heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth is confession made unto salvation. You know what he's talking about? Obeying the word of God, not just in your foot action. It's not just coming forward, it's with your heart. It's not just saying the right words, it's with the heart. It's not just doing better, it's with the heart. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed, and as they come, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a change of heart? Is your religion a religion of the heart? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior?
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. And that completes the message for this week. And we will start up a new message on tomorrow's broadcast from the Sermon on the Mount study series. But I would like to take this opportunity to invite you on this Wednesday evening to come out and be with us in our midweek prayer service here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. That'll be at 7 p.m. tonight at the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, located at 1415 Island Ford Road. Again, that's at 7 o'clock p.m. for our service tonight. And I do hope that you all have a great and wonderful Thanksgiving on tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.